for grace to trust him more. And I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me. In Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the safe Lord Jesus. Precious Jesus, Savior, my friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, oh Jesus, how I trust.
Just lift our hands to the Lord right now. 'Tis so sweet to trust in you, Jesus, to put our faith, our hope in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Before you're seated, I want us to take a special need to the Lord of prayer. The gentleman we've been praying for, a friend of the Kellums, Brother Caulfield, they received word this morning that he's been on the list for a lung transplant, and they received word this morning that they have an organ that they are going to transplant, so they are scheduling for, I think, 1 o'clock, she said, 1 o'clock today for that surgery. Obviously a very serious surgery anytime you're dealing with organ transplant, but this is something we've been praying concerning that God would facilitate and work out. And so let's just go before the Lord, asking him to help that situation there, guide the surgeon's hands, that everything would work out, that the organ would take, and that everything would work out and God sees fit. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God. We thank you that we can come to you, Lord. This is an answer to prayer, Lord. We beseech your throne on his behalf, God, and we ask that you would guide the doctor's hand, Lord. We know the time is of the essence, God, and being able to transplant the organ into his body, God. I know it's a very serious surgery, God. I know there could be many complications as a result, Lord, but we place him in your almighty hands. You are the creator of the body, God, and we thank you for the medical professionals, God, that are able to do work of this nature, Lord, but most importantly, we place him in your almighty hands. hands, God, for your work to be done in his life. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We give you glory and praise for who you are and what you do. How wonderful to know you and to serve you, God, to find your help, your strength, your love. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to tell you, give you an update on our multimedia situation. Special thanks to a donation that will remain anonymous, but somebody, we basically expressed the need on Wednesday night for a new projector. And we had experienced some kind of power surge or short in the system and had burnt out a portion of our multimedia. And so we were approached after service on Wednesday night, and someone graciously and charitably said, hey, we want to pay for it. And so we have purchased that. It is in, but we have not had an opportunity to install it yet. So one more service where you don't have the stuff on the background on the screen behind me, and hopefully you'll be able to suffer through. But I want you to stand as we open our Bibles. So good to have my good friend, international man of mystery, Brother Greg Sims. You'll be hearing a little bit from him in the later session this morning, but found out he was coming to town and said, hey, man, come hang out with us. We went in the city last night and had a meal together, him and some other friends of ours from Florida, and he came back home with us and is staying, and so we're grateful that he's here, and we'll have a little bit more to say about that here in the next service, but so good to have him here, such a good friend. But if you have your Bibles, and you would be so kind to turn in them with me, the book of Psalms, we have been studying the benefits of Christian living, and I know that we have undoubtedly many times talked along these lines and about the subject, and in our Sunday school lessons, we've been focusing upon those things that are benefits to us in living a Christian life, and one of the things that is a benefit if we use it is the Word of God. Undoubtedly, it is the guide. Psalms 119, 105 is the focus verse for this morning. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've said this many times. Not only does it show me where I am, but it shows me where I need to be going. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Just a little, I may have told you this story before, but just a little faith builder, if you will. The very first time I was asked to speak at the home church, my father asked me to speak. I was a young man, and it was a Sunday morning. We were doing one of those, you know, fiery fives where you get up and little, they call them sermonettes because they're, you know, little sermons. And God had given me this passage of scripture, and I felt God had given it to me, and that's what I was preaching on. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path, how it shows us where we are, where we're going. And, you know, young, nervous, still struggling with the call of God on my life, essentially. And I just said a simple prayer before service. I said, Lord, you got to give me something. You got to let me know. If not, this is gonna go really, really bad. And I really need something from you just to let me know that I am in your will, that this is what you've called me to do. And so I was sitting on the front, my left, your right, sitting on the front pew. We had a door kind of over here, much like this building. And one of the young people, just seconds after I say that little prayer to God, there's a young lady in the youth group walks through with a T-shirt on. It's got a big lighthouse on the T-shirt. And there on her T-shirt is this exact passage of Scripture, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I said, that'll do, God. You can clap. That's okay. I mean, it's for him, not for me. Also, I want you to turn into your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. He taught the people. John 5:39, one passage of Scripture says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. One more passage, Acts chapter 17, rather. Verses 10 through 12. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were noble, more noble rather than those in Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. We are talking about this morning the word of God, the essentiality, the benefit of having the word of God in our lives, understanding that in the time of Jesus, many people were not literate. They did not have the ability to read. Much of what we have in the form of the Bible today, they did not have, obviously, because only thing up until that time was the Old Testament. And so they listened with their ears as Jesus taught. And Jesus said, you search the scriptures, and they are they which testify of me. And so now today, we can symbolically sit at the feet of Jesus. We can symbolically understand his word, though he is not here to say it per se in the sense of an audible voice. We can read his word and understand his will and his way. And it is so important, it is so essential in our Christian living to have the word of God and apply the word of God in our life. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The words of the Bible are the very words of God. If we believe that the word of God is inspired of God, it is literally God-breathed, then we understand that because it is God's word and God is our creator and our God, then it should impact every aspect of our human life. The Bible is just as applicable then as it is now. In every facet, in every culture, in every society, the Bible is still and will always be applicable to life. It is written, if you will, and inspired by our Creator, by our God, who decided in His will and in His way that He would use a tool such as His Word to guide our lives, to help us understand His will and His way, His principles, His precepts, those things which guide our everyday lives, or shall I say, should guide our everyday lives. Throughout most of the 2,000 years of the church age, you got to think about it in this light, the majority of Christians did not own a Bible. You think about it and you really, and I know it's kind of hard to do this. We have so much access nowadays, and there, you know, even now print is becoming obsolete because we can just pull everything up on an iPad or a smartphone. But in that day and age, and throughout most of history, if you will, especially as it pertains to the Bible, they did not have ready access to the written word. Matter of fact, if you were to do a simple study, you will find that in the homes of most Bible-believing Christians, or those who still hold the word of God, you will find that what they have in just their own personal collection many times would exceed that which was a part of universities and even churches before the 19th century. That's how scarce, if you will, the Word of God or the Scriptures were. Only until the invention of the printing press and that was it able to mass produce the pages of the Word of God. And now today, like I said earlier, we have all these different ways to access the Word of God. You can get an app on your phone, YouBible. You can have it read to you. You can just, you know, select, and there's many different plans. You can do, I'm doing one now, it's called The Bible in 90 Days. That's tough. You do it in a year is difficult. Try do it in 90 days. And so I'm trying to condition myself that when I, you know, get on a plane or I'm traveling, to pull up that app and listen to the Word of God. And just, because I know it's important. I know it's essential in my life. The more I interact with the Word of God, be it reading the Word of God, praying the Word of God, listening the Word of God, the more I'm able to take those scriptures and those words and implant them into my life, the better I will be. The better I will be able to do all of those things and duties and responsibilities that pertain to my life. When you think about it, it seems almost inconceivable that most of church history is marked by a lack of direct access to the Word of God. They didn't have it. It wasn't readily available. They just couldn't pull it up on their iPhone or their iPad. They didn't have it just on the shelf where they could go and pull it down. But we do. And for me, the travesty is, it seems like the much more access we have to it, the less important it has become. I wouldn't get too many amens on that one. But if you think about it, and when we look at the passage where Jesus is on the boat and they launch out a little bit from the shore and he begins to teach, much of what was done throughout history was done mouth to ear. It was spoken. The word of God was recited. And even throughout the Old Testament, many times it was only those that studied and those that knew the Torah and those that were able to read the words that were written that they would sit down and they would tell them and they would rehearse them, the Bible said. Even in the New Testament, along the lines of Paul, you find out that in Colossians 4:16 says this, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." In other words, not everybody's going to have their own copy. You're going to have to go to church, and they're going to have to read the letter. Because they didn't have the printing press then. They couldn't just, mass produce. They couldn't email it to everybody. So it had to be read. And so they understood it. They wanted to hear the word of God. They had to go somewhere where it was being read. Think about that. What if the only time that we had access to hear the word of God or interact with the word of God was when we came to church? But here's the... Why is it then that is sometimes the only time we interact with the Word of God? They would come because that's the only time they could interact, if you will. That was when they could hear it read. Many of them could not read. They were not able to look at the written word and recite it. So they would come and it would be rehearsed in their ears. Even if you do a little study. Jewish worship, especially after the development of the synagogue, it always centered on reading the prescribed portions of the Old Testament. Part of being a part of synagogue and going to synagogue. And if you know an Orthodox Jew, they will tell you, they don't say, "I go to church," they say, "I go to synagogue." Part of going to synagogue was that there were portions of the Old Testament that would be read at synagogue, and they would be read publicly so that the whole Old Testament would be read in a year. They did. That was how they went about. That was a certain portion of being at synagogue. Now, we understand this, that just hearing the word of God is not sufficient. The Bible tells us that we have to not only be hearers, but doers of the word of God. Hebrews 2:1 says this way, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip." So yes, there is that aspect of hearing the Word of God and interacting with the Word of God and coming to hear the preached Word of God and reading the Word of God. But all that interaction, while it is good and meaningful, if I don't take that and then apply it to my life, endeavor to have it borne out in my spirit and what I do and how I live, is the Bible directing? Is it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Do I love the law? Do I meditate on it day and night? Do I do the things that I know are beneficial to me and my family and those around about me? The Bible says in our passage that the Jews in the synagogue at Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Both groups had received the message of Paul and Silas. Both groups had the written word, if you will, in the sense of the letter that was written. Both of them had access to what Paul had said, but what made those in Berea more noble? The Bible says they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. In other words, it wasn't just about taking Paul's word for it. Catch this. It wasn't just about taking Silas's word for it and saying, well, they're men of God, so what they have to say is obviously going to be right. The Bible says they then took that, what they had to say, and they went back to the scriptures and said, does it match up? Now, I do hope that you trust that the ministry that comes forth from this pulpit is according to the word of God. But let me tell you how the only way that you know.
is that you go to the book yourselves and begin to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not good enough just to come and hear it. And I love when you're here, and I love to be able to preach the word to you. But I expect that when you go home and in your daily devotions, you're making sure that what pastor's preaching from the pulpit is aligned with the word of God. Because no matter what I say or no matter who says it, if it doesn't line up to the word, God's kingdom nobility does not come from questioning or the unquestioning trust in our leaders. It doesn't come just by taking their word for it. This is in no way disrespectful or demeaning to pastors and preachers. But where it comes from, nobility in the kingdom of God comes from our own constant examination in relation to the word of God. Love that you preach that, Pastor. Love you, man. It resonated in my spirit. Well, listen, that's great. And I'm glad that the word, the seed was planted in your soul. But when you go home, don't let it germinate and water it and spend some more time digging into the word of God and take the time to dress it and to keep it and to make sure it's going to grow and mature in your life. I can plant the seed, if you will, but it's going to take you watering. It's going to take you spending time digging in the word of God yourself to help that come to maturation. It's going to help that grow in your life. And that's really what's going to bear fruit. Living our lives in the word requires that the word becomes alive in us through our daily reading and interacting and listening and doing and studying. Cannot live the word without interacting with the living word. Think about that. I can't live the word unless I'm interacting with the living word. It's an eternal word. It's ever living. And so in order for me to truly live it, I've got to interact with it. I've got to understand its importance and its essentiality in my life. Certainly there are church leaders, there are pastors, evangelists, teachers. There are those that the Bible says that God has equipped and God has given them special ability, if you will, not in the sense of their own human or fleshly attributes, but in order for us to come together and for the perfecting of the saints, the Bible says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. If we think that that's enough for me individually just to come and hear the preacher preach or hear the teacher teach, or come when the revival happens with the evangelist, we are sorely missing the point. It's daily interaction. It's taking those things which we have heard. It's taking that interaction which we have on Sundays and Wednesdays and other times throughout the year, and it's taking those and helping us grow and mature to become the body of Christ. Whereas the hand, I'm doing what the hand needs to do. Or as the foot, I'm doing what the foot needs to do. Or as the eye or the ear, I'm understanding my role and my place. Not because pastors put me in a role or not because somebody says I should be here or I should do this. But I have, through my own walk in relationship with God, through interacting with His Word, it's been a light into my path. It's showing me where I need to go. It's showing me the next step I need to take. You truly understand the Bible. Every member of the body of Christ is commanded to teach and to admonish one another. We are. Colossians 3:16, we are mandated. We are to teach one another, to exhort one another, to encourage one another. Speech and songs and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, doing those things. And that's why church is so important. That's why it is important that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It is important that we come together and we sing together and we worship together. Many of the songs that we sing undoubtedly are biblically based. Some of the words for some of the songs are verbatim almost from the Word of God. Why? Because we understand its importance. Sister Day, as you stated earlier, we live in a society that is increasingly distrustful of anybody who takes the Bible seriously. Well, you're archaic. You need to get up with the modern times. If we're not careful, we're tempted to withdraw from the public arena and just treat the truth as this private matter that less, you know, it's best left unspoken. Just don't. People don't want to hear it. People don't want you preaching at them. Maybe they don't. And maybe there's times when I need to learn how to maybe keep the speech down and let the action speak for itself, but where I actually live the living word, where I'm actually being an example in word and deed, where I am endeavoring to take what I've heard and what's been preached and what I've taught, what I've studied and what I've been taught on, and I'm endeavoring to live it in my everyday life. Think about it like this. We can come despondent or stressed, thinking of the way the world is going and society and all its ills and its continued sinfulness and its rejection of the Word of God and the things of God. We need to understand that as we view church history, the greatest growth and the greatest revival happens when the church is confronted by a hostile society. It's there. The Apostle Paul had this to say in Philippians 1:14, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Listen, I'm locked up. I'm incarcerated. I'm in bonds. But as a result of my bondage, it has released other men. I'm bound up. I can't get out there. I can't be spreading the word. I'm converting all these jailers and all those people that are, but I can't get outside these walls. But what God has done as a result, because they tried to lock me up in here, what has been released for other men is boldness to speak the word. And it's not confined to my confinement anymore. It's, yes, there's adversity, but they are waxing confident in my bonds. I'm in prison, but they're out there. And what was holding them back is now being relieved from off of them, and they're waxing confident. Well, I'm in bondage. So we can have that understanding. We can have that confidence that the Word of God will go forth. Those who choose to heed and those who choose to interact and apply the Word of God will be benefited. There is no better plan for life than this plan. There's no better plan for me as a husband, as a pastor, as a worker, as an employee. There is no better. I cannot be any better than I am when I follow this Word and I apply it in my life. What a better society we would live in if people applied more of the principles and precepts of the Word of God. 2 Timothy, Paul writing, his young protege in the gospel, 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You've been taught as a young boy. You've been taught by me. I've been your mentor. I've mentored you in the gospel. We've studied these Scriptures together. You've known the Holy Scriptures. And you know that they are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's beneficial to you. Timothy, you might let some things slip, but don't let your interaction with the Word of God slip. That's what's going to keep you right. That's what's going to keep your feet where they need to be and going in the right direction. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man of God may be perfect. You say, well, that's a tall order, Pastor. Maybe perfect. I'm not able to be perfect. I'm human. You know, I'm humanity. I mess up. I make mistakes. We do. But I found this: the more I interact with the Word of God, the more I endeavor to apply it to my life, the the less mistakes I make. It just works that way. I'm able to redirect. I'm able to understand. Wait a second. I know that that's not the course I should take. I know that there's a different way to handle this situation. I know. How do I know? Because I've interacted with the Word of God, and it has taught me different. It has shown me a greater path. It has given light and revelation and understanding. It's given me discernment. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how I'm able to know. My heart's deceitful and it's desperately wicked and it seeks its own. So how do I know? Go back to the Word. Sometimes it cuts me and it shows me. My motive wasn't pure when I thought it was. The way I was tempting to go about it when I thought was right and good really wasn't. It directs me. It keeps me in right standing. Hebrews 6:19 says this, we have hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Oh, if there's anything that I can sink my stake into in the sense of making sure I'm not going to be moved and I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, it's based upon my interaction with His Word. Apostle Peter said it this way, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, you want to know how I lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and all envies and all evil speakings? You know how I do that? As a newborn babe, I desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How am I going to displace those things out of my life? How am I going to make sure those things which would keep me from excelling in the kingdom of God are done away with? By desiring the sincere milk of the word. By desiring to interact with the Word of God. The Scriptures teach us the best way of living. The noblest way of suffering. And the most comfortable way of dying. The Scriptures reveal life in all that it is from beginning to end. To do those things which the Word of God would have me do. Matthew Henry said this, the great commentator, the Bible is a letter God has sent to us, and prayer is the return letter we send back to Him. We read His Word, and it helps me know how to respond. We read His Word, and it helps me know how to pray. We read His Word, and it's his letter to me, giving me understanding and help to know how to pray. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Well, I've made this statement before, but it bears repeating. It's really not a mystery why, when it comes to retaining young people throughout their high school and college years, one of the greatest contributing factors to retaining young people is their level of involvement with the Word of God. I did a study some years ago, and in reference to those young people that had been in Bible quizzing for at least 2 years. Obviously, there was some attrition. Obviously, there was some that even though they had spent at least 2 years of their life interacting with the Bible, had unfortunately fallen away. When they did the study and they came up with a statistic, they found out around 80% of those young people
who had interacted with the Word of God for a minimum of 2 years. Not that they never made a mistake. Not that they didn't have moments of humanity. It's all said and done. They were still around. We're still serving God. How important it is that we interact with the Word of God. I love church. I love fellowship. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. But I gotta love the Word. Spend more time interacting with it, having it lead and guide my life and show me. Decisions I make, are they decided in accordance with the Word of God? Spend time in prayer and interacting with the Word of God so I clearly hear His voice and I'm able to distinguish His voice apart from all the other clutter that seeks to occupy my mind. Such a great benefit we have of just powering on the iPad or just pulling up the app on the smartphone. Or maybe even bringing the Bible, opening its pages. I know it's not all about preaching, but I've heard many times those ministers among our fellowship that are known, if you will, for their ability to articulate the Word of God and preach some profound messages with revelation and understanding. You've ever had the opportunity to find their personal Bible, you will find worn pages. You'll probably find places where teardrops have fallen and kind of washed out some words. You'll find highlights and words written in notes. Inspiration and revelation that God has given them over the years if they've poured themselves into the Word of God and the Word of God has poured back into their lives. Lord, help me interact with Your Word. A few moments, our classes are going to be returning, but can we take this opportunity, whether it be at the pew there, whether it be around the altar, Lord, help me understand just how important it is to interact with Your Word. I challenge you, on your commute to work, turn off the radio, turn off the talking heads, turn off the sports cast, and find the Bible on CD or plug in your app or hook up your phone via Bluetooth and listen to the Word of God. I do that, Pastor, then I find my mind trailing off and I'm thinking about other things. That's all right. Just keep it playing in the background. You never know when your mind will pick back up and you'll hear what you need to hear and you'll get direction. Shine a light on where you are. Give direction for your day.
Your very word spoken to me.
These altars are open. Come and pray.
This is the air I breathe.
Job said, I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Lord, I want to hear your voice and what you have to say more than I want to hear. It's food for my soul.
In me.
Help me understand how important it is that I interact with your word.
This is my daily bread.
I need private interaction with the living word so that I can live the word in a public arena.
Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread.
Amazing grace, how sweet.